Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is August 1st, and I'd like to thank all of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motivitality.com and listening to them, or subscribing to whatever podcast application you use, like Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or whatever those are. But we love it when you're here live. So thank you, each of you, for being here. Especially, you know, today I didn't send out the message, which means that those of you that are on had it on your calendar and you felt that this was valuable enough to spend a few minutes of your morning with us for. And I just really appreciate that a lot. So it's always my goal. I wonder sometimes after, you know, doing 50 of these a year, if I fall short on occasion, but it's always my goal, on both Jen and I, to make the time that you spend with us, to make the content of these calls at least as valuable as the time that you're spending with us. So really do appreciate the opportunity to serve you this way. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, or most weeks anyway, with the three questions that I always ask. Is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that anybody learned that that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or thoughts or comments? Anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything big that happened this last week? Coming into August, into September. I don't want to rehash it. This is not the topic I wanted to necessarily discuss today, but you know, we've talked a lot about, and even this year, we've had a couple calls on water clinics and setting up joint activities with other people. You know, next month, and it's 2 months away, we've got Labor Day coming up. What are you doing to prepare for one of those joint activities? All these people out there, all these companies that you could have an opportunity to work with, hardware stores and appliance stores and feed and seed stores out in the country. These people are planning right now a big parking lot activity where they're going to have tents and they're going to have a hot dog stand and they're going to have all these places out there, and you know, especially things like the feed and seed stores. They're going to be, you know, these are all rural customers. If somebody's going to a feed store, generally speaking, they live in an area where they also need water treatment. So, you know, what are you doing to prepare the relationships with them to be able to set up a canopy or a booth out there in that parking lot and offer free water testing? Not salesy, okay? This is not going to be a home show type thing. You're going out there to offer this as a benefit to serve their customers. If this is your first time hearing this, or if you're liking the idea, or you want to kind of learn more about it, please reach out to either Jen or myself, and we can kind of give you some ideas on that and help you organize it and put it together. But now's the time to start on those. A lot of times you can't really listen to this idea even at the beginning of September and go, oh, it's a great idea. You know, it's kind of too late. It takes time to get these things set up. It seems to me that I loaned my banner to somebody at some point. I wonder if they're on this call. I've got a banner that says, you know, free water testing. Wonder if it's been used. You know, and this is the perfect time of the year to get out there and do those water clinics on a Saturday from 10 to 2 on a Saturday, or while it's still light, you know, from 6 to 8 in the evening. Find a parking lot that you're allowed to set up a canopy tent and a table and a banner that says, you know, free water testing right now. And you know, maybe you're there for 2 hours and only two people come to you and bring their water sample because they saw the banner. They come to you and say, will you test my water? What's in my water? Okay. My question is always, okay, so there were two people. You sat there for 2 hours. Oh, I just twiddled my thumb. We only had two people bring water samples up. Okay. What else were you going to be doing for 2 hours where two people came to you and said that they were concerned about their water? if, I mean, there may be other things that you can do that are more productive than that. But even if one person came up to you and brought you a water sample and said that they were concerned about their water, that seems pretty successful to me, you know, to have that. The odds are that there's going to be more than even just the one or two, but this is the perfect time as we're coming near the end of the year to get out there and generate some of that business. Wintertime, you know, there's other things that we can do, okay, and in the coming months we'll kind of remind people, because, you know, when we get into September and especially October, that's the time that we got to start preparing for what we're going to do for the holiday season. You know, you do have to kind of think ahead about how you're going to begin market. You know, just as a hint, you can't wait until November to think about sending out postcards reminding people to fix their water before the mother-in-laws all come for Thanksgiving. That's got to be something you think about early, you know, earlier before that. Those things, you know, they can't really be planned in the moment. You've got to have some, you know, foresight on that, some planning ahead. Any comments on that little lecture? how do you all feel, children? Right, like I just talked to you like you're all kids, and I don't mean to do that, but it, you know, it is just a reminder. I know some of you that have been on the call for a while have heard me talk about these things before, and I just wanted to try and remind you a little earlier this time. Any thoughts on that, or anybody in the planning stages on those, or working on those things? Okay, so everybody still there? Anybody? Jen, we had some technical difficulties to start. Is it just me?
We're still here. Since next week, I'm just going to kind of bring this up. Since next week, Chad, I will be out there working with you. Maybe that's something that we can focus on, is finding a place to do a water clinic.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah. Maybe Chad, you and I can talk about that a little more in detail to prep for that tomorrow when we're talking. And so,
yep.
Corey, it would be great to have you on that conversation so that you could participate and kind of get on the same page with some of that if you're able. So, but
absolutely.
Anyway, all right. So for the rest of you, so I had a topic today that came to mind because recently I had a presentation that I thought was going to go really well, and it didn't. I finished the presentation and I was actually, I've had this happen before where, you know, you give this presentation, you know, sales presentation or any other presentation, and before you do it, you're all excited about it. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I remember early on in some of my sales presentations just feeling like I totally had it down, you know, like it was going to go really well. And then you go in there, and I mean, have you ever walked out of a sales presentation going, oh, my God, I wish I had a redo on that one? From the very beginning, maybe it was a joke that I made. Maybe it was, you know, that was misinterpreted. Maybe I let something slip out that I just immediately knew the temperature just dropped. You know, it was like, you know, or you walk out of the house or walk out of some type of a presentation where you're going, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I wish I could have a redo on all of that. I wanted to talk a little bit today about what we do when that happens. I had a presentation. I will tell you, one of the worst ones I ever did. I'm not going to go into details about this. If there's anybody from who was in California, you know, what has that been, about 7-8 years ago, Jen? I was speaking at a large event somewhere, and some of you know that that I, in college, did a little stand-up comedy, and when I was in college, and at this particular event, they had asked me to do the entertainment. My initial thought, my original thought was to go in and just do some magic. So I also do some magic and, you know, kind of some magician stuff, and I thought about doing that. But in talking to a couple people that were part of the group, they encouraged me to kind of go back to my roots and try and do some of my, you know, my stand-up stuff. Well, this is where, I don't know where I ever thought it was a good idea, but I was never, even as a comedian, you know, when I did stand up in college, I was never raunchy. I'm not a big fan of the raunch or the, but you know, sometimes it can border on inappropriate or innuendo or whatever. I'm not sure why. I mean, I second guessed myself after I heard a couple people, you know, they said, you shouldn't, you know, don't worry about it. These people, it's going to be great. It's a relaxed event. They'll be fine. And so I went and first off, it was a really difficult situation anyway, because nobody was really interested in hearing. So I should have just stuck with the idea of going around and doing table magic, you know, and just doing magic. It would have gone off a lot better because people, they wanted to talk amongst themselves, and it's hard to do that anyway. But then very quickly realized that they just did not think it was, they didn't think I was funny, and they didn't think I was appropriate, and there were some things said that I was afraid was going to impact not only that event, but my reputation within the industry, you know, not said by me, but things that were said to me by other people about that, you know, and that was not the first time that I'd ever bombed on stage. Trust me, I have had my share of bombing in front of a crowd before. I mean, it is, if you've ever had that happen, it's one of the worst feelings ever. I don't know if you guys have ever been in front of a large group of people and you've bombed, you know, you can feel the tension in the room or whatever, and it just was horrible. I will tell you that next 24, 48 hours that was hard. I actually never really felt redeemed from that until after Jay Leno was the keynote speaker in Vegas a few years back at the National WQA and went and did, albeit much better than I, essentially some of the same jokes that I had tried to do. I mean, the same content anyway. And everybody thought he was great, and they laughed, and it was all good, and nobody thought he was inappropriate or anything like that. So I felt, okay, I'm cool. This is just me. It's just that I suck. It wasn't the content. It's just that I didn't know how to, you know, manage that particular crowd. So, you know, so I felt a little redeemed after that. But when you take that and you get almost that same feeling sometimes when you go and you run these sales appointments and, you know, you walk, I don't know if you guys have had this yet, but it's hard. I think it's one of the reasons salespeople, I've seen them quit. I've seen, you know, people who have the ability. It's so hard sometimes to have that kind of, it's not even rejection. It's knowing that you could have done better. It's wanting to do that do-over, you know, have that do-over there to do it. You know, to have the reset button. So what do you do? How do you handle that? And that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about today was number one, how do you avoid it in the first place? And number two, how do you overcome, how do you recover from it? A couple suggestions. First off, let me ask you guys, have you guys ever had this? Have you ever had a situation like this where you've had that appointment where you just totally wish you could, when you walk out of there with just like, just wanting to put your head in the sand and not show your face anymore, where you're just almost ready to just give up and quit and find a job where you can work where nobody else is around? I mean, have you guys ever had that before? You ever felt that?
Well, are you familiar with the movie Groundhog Day?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That is our saying in the office that, you know, from time to time you are going to have an appointment and either you're not on your game or you're overconfident. But when you walk out of there, with your tail between your legs, the next appointment is your next opportunity and your chance to redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, yeah, I, and I'm glad to hear that I'm, I mean, I know it sounds horrible, glad to hear that I'm not the only one that's been miserable. but it is hard. That was Scott, I think, right, Scott? That's really hard. I mean,
it is.
You can say that and you have the support of your teammates and everybody's there and they're patting you on the back and that helps. I mean, my ordeal there in California, it was incredible to me how many people, there was only one or two people that were really vocal about, you know, about me and that situation. And all night long after that, I had so many people come up to me, including one of my best friends, Jen, was there supporting me and kind of wrapping me up with support, you know, and encouragement. And that helps a lot, but it doesn't immediately take it away, you know. So I love that you, what you're saying is in your organization, everybody is supportive of that and they recognize it. And I really think it's why managers or people in the office, they really, you know, I don't think they understand that part of what a sales professional runs into. You know, it's service tech sometimes, you know, I don't think they really get, well, that guy's up there playing golf every, you know, on Fridays and he gets all the benefits and gets to go on the trips and all that stuff. But that's yet another one of those things that you just can't explain to somebody that's never been in that situation, you know, in a sales situation or whatever. That's one of the most difficult parts of the job is to overcome that. Anybody else have that before I kind of go in and talk a little bit about the ideas or suggestions here?
You know, Chad and I recently, I wouldn't say that we walked out of it with the, you know, tail between your legs or anything like that. I think my biggest frustration with one of the appointments we recently ran was that the homeowner had he had a concern, and I guess I didn't have a comeback, if that makes sense, or, you know, something to come back and say, well, yeah, but, you know, why don't we consider this or this, you know, I just, it had to do with his, he didn't like how much water was being discharged from the water softener. And I had not completely and totally educated myself. Let me rephrase that. I knew it. I just didn't remember how much water that particular model used that I was going to recommend. And so I told him more than what it was supposed to be using. So after we left, the first thing I did was I went and, you know, checked out. I'm like, okay, well, he had a washer machine right next to it, and it wasn't a high-efficiency water machine or washer machine. So let's see how much water clothes washing machine uses, that particular model. And come to find out, that particular model uses only about 7 gallons less, or 7 gallons, yeah, 7 gallons less than what the water softener does. Water softener would be regenerating only once a week. I'm sure he does probably at least 2 loads of laundry every week. So then we kind of had a comeback for the next time.
Yeah, you know, so you're kind of hitting on one of the suggestions that I'm going to have. But real quick, anybody else have experiences or thoughts on this? You know, not necessarily in this industry, just, you know, in general. I'm curious to know what you guys let me ask you, Jen, real quick before I offer a couple suggestions. What would you do if you could hit a redo button? You know, a reset button, what would you do differently?
I think I would have, before going into the appointment, I would have done a quick over on the equipment. And, you know, I guess to be a little bit fair to myself is that this was the first time coming back and working with this client. And we do work with a lot of, I'm familiar with all of the equipment. It was just, I should have gone back and done a refresher on the equipment. And I had not done that. And then I know to kind of research like washing machines and other water appliances, similar to the, you know, the reverse osmosis, people saying how much water it uses, and we can kind of correlate that with how much water they're flushing down the toilet.
So I'm glad you said that, you know, acknowledged that you, I mean, what I suspect is sometimes we're harder on ourselves than what other people are on us. You know, I had one time, even before I officially started Motor Vitality, I had done a presentation at the Ohio Water Quality Association, and there were, I don't know, 80, 90 people in attendance. It was actually back when they really had a lot of strong attendance, and it went really well. I mean, it was a 3.5-hour presentation, and I had I hadn't even officially started Motor Vitality yet. It was just even before I had started, but it just went really, really well. And on the back table, all the way in the back, I had made a bunch of CDs. I mean, spent just hours and hours and hours burning copies of files, these files that I was referring to, and some of the forms and documents and ideas that I had, into a folder on these CDs, and I had them all on the back table. You know, I had made about 100 of them and had them on the back table there. And sometimes when you, if you've ever given a presentation, I mean, it's kind of a high. It's awesome, you know, is that feeling. But afterwards, everybody was coming up to me and, oh, it was great, you know, and they're asking me questions, what do you think of this and that and so on and so forth. And so, you know, a half hour after the presentation was over, I went back to gather up the few remaining CDs that were left on the table back there. And somebody had taken one of the CDs. I just had this great presentation. I just thought it just went really well. And I just spent a half hour with people kind of, you know, telling, you know, having great conversations with people, and I just was on a high. And I got back to that table, and somebody in a black marker had scrawled across one of the CDs, "What a waste of time, was not what I was told it was going to be, worst 3 hours ever," or something like that. You know, they'd put it on there. And it just immediately deflated me. I mean, it bothered me so bad. You know, that I mean, of all the other people who had said these one or two things. So, okay, so let me get in. We got a couple minutes here. Let me just give you a couple suggestions in general on how to deal with this stuff, in my humble opinion. Okay, first off, Jen, you're absolutely right. Becoming an expert as much as possible, preparing, becoming knowledgeable, I think is really, really key. I think it's really, that's why... delve into it. Make yourself an expert. Know as much as you can, but don't have such high expectations that you're gonna let yourself down. Okay, Jim, you're right in that we work with clients all over the country, and we work with just about every software and every manufacturer. It's simply not realistic for either of us, me or you, to remember all the specs on every piece of equipment that we help people represent. And so one of the first things I would say is, yeah, make yourself an expert. Be familiar enough with it. But also then don't be unrealistically hard on yourself. The other thing that I would suggest to you is, to all of you, is to spend more time asking questions when you're in that presentation. If you are gathering information and you're letting them do most of the talking, you know, so you're asking the questions, you're letting them kind of guide, I mean, you're guiding the conversations with the questions that you're asking, but you're letting them kind of respond to you and answer those questions. If you're asking questions, that you're in control of that conversation, okay? But if you're asking questions and they're answering it, then you're less likely to put your foot in your mouth. and trust me, when I say that, this is something, some of you, this may come as a surprise to some of you, it may not, but I have to constantly remind myself of that same advice, two ears, one mouth, right? So, you know, to go in and really listen and to pay attention to what the customer's saying and to ask questions to guide them, you're less likely to have those problems happening there. One of the big ones, and this is painful to do, but it's almost like a vaccine where, you know, sometimes you get a vaccine where they inject a certain part of the disease so that, you know, the amount that your antibodies can learn to fight it off instead of like a big, huge you know, bad disease that will kill you. I mean, rattlesnake anti-venom is made from rattlesnake venom. You know, so your body learns how to kind of adapt it and fight it off or whatever, you know. So it's sort of the same thing. Record and listen to your own presentations. It's so easy nowadays. Back when I was in sales, I had a little micro cassette recorder, so that had a little cassettes in it, like that came in the answering machines, and I would listen to it that way, you know, and record it. And we've talked about this briefly before, but there's so many reasons to do it. If you are not recording your own presentations and listening to yourself, I don't know why. This is such a valuable exercise to do. Okay, but record your presentation. With the phones nowadays and the voice record, it's so easy to do. Put it on there, set it to record. If you live in a state, and it's easy to look this up, the vast majority of the states out there are one-party states, meaning that as long as one person being in the conversation is aware that they are being recorded, then you don't have to tell all the parties in the state or all the parties there. But if you're uncomfortable with that, I can tell you, you know, Michigan at the time I was in sales was a one-party state, but sometimes I would do that. I would have if I left that micro cassette recorder in my pocket or whatever, you'd sometimes hear fuzz and, you know, just all that stuff as you're walking, trying to listen to it later. So sometimes if I wanted a more clear recording, I would put that right out on the table and I would ask the customer, here's how I would say it going ahead of time. And I'd do this with my phone now, okay, when I would go in and do it. I would put that up there and say to the customer, do you mind if I record myself during this? I've been really trying to make sure that I'm wording things properly and explaining this stuff properly and really doing some self-evaluation to make sure that I'm you know, explaining this stuff the best I can and as accurately as I can. I have never, when I've asked it that way, I've never had a single person say, no. In fact, I really believe it adds credibility. It shows that customer that this is not just a job, that you want to be better, that you're bettering yourself. I used to ask people that, and they go, no, that's a great idea. That's awesome. I will tell you, though, expect it to be painful. That's what I'm talking about on the vaccine. It can, you know, sometimes the flu vaccine can give you a little bout of the flu. It can make you feel a little sick for a day or two. That's kind of the way this thing can be sometimes. When you listen to it later, that's why a lot of people don't like to do it, I think. You know, because it is painful. It's painful sometimes. I can tell you after doing this for 21 years, often I'll record my sales presentation to do a mock presentation for you know, and being able to edit. And after 21 years, I will still have those moments where I say or do something that I'll go back and watch it later. And fortunately, I'm editing them and making them, you know, to use them for training. Although I don't always edit out my mistakes. A lot of times I will point those mistakes out and put a caption over the top of it and say, okay, I was wrong about the statement. It should have been this or that or whatever. Because I do think it's important to acknowledge those errors and learn from them. But it's painful. But in doing that, in recording that presentation, listening to it, I mean, there's been times where I've noticed my sales going down or whatever, and I've recorded my presentation, and I go back and I hear myself make a joke that I thought was funny, that I thought was going over with the customer, or with, you know, or just some little line or some phrase or something like that I thought was working, and I go back and listen to it later, and I'm like, oh my God, that just, I can't even believe the way. If I'm now hearing it, listening to myself say it, and it's coming across that way, have my customers been hearing it that same way? No wonder I'm not closing sales. I'm being a jerk or whatever, you know. And to, you know, what's the alternative? To continue to do that? To continue to say that phrase or do it that way and then wonder why those people aren't buying from you? I mean, most of your customers are not going to tell you when you said or did something wrong, they're just not going to buy from you. I'm seeing that it's 9 o'clock here, but I strongly encourage, the last thing the last thing I want to point out here is kind of in with what you were saying, Scott, is realize that this is, you know, if you're doing this, it's one person. It's not, it's hard, it hurts, but don't let it ruin your entire day or your entire week. You know, surround yourself. If when that happens, go find people that care for you, that can surround you with encouragement. Put yourself in a position where you can rebuild, you can refill that bucket pretty quickly and learn from it, you know, and just move on. This is what we do. So I realize it's 9 o'clock here Eastern, so I guess that's it for the day. Any final comments, though, or thoughts on that real quick, last 30 seconds here? I will tell you that I refill my bucket by doing this call every Thursday. I truly am honored to be able to serve you guys in this way. Thank you for joining in and being part of it. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks.